Does flock of seagulls have to be with us at all?
No, it'll happen. It'll hit you in a second.
I know.
What does a 40-second guitar intro have to do with this?
Because I didn't think this through at all. Yeah, you guys don't know this is going. They ran. Hey, I'm Steve, and this is Tony, and this is Three Drink Minimum.
We just got disappointed so much, we figured we'd disappoint you with an intro song.
Welcome to Three Drink Minimum, your drinking podcast with a movie problem. I'm Steve.
Oh, I'm Tony.
And we saw The Maze Runner.
Part 2.
Yeah, The Scorch Trials.
Man, the disappointment trials.
Yeah. I wish there were some kind of trials or maybe a tribulation that would have happened in this movie.
It was just them, two quote flock of seagulls, running so far away.
Yeah. It was like they were running through the sets of failed movies.
I mean, they really did. And not only did they run through the sets, they took the time to stop and recreate the scenes of those failed movies.
Classic scenes.
Honestly, some of them weren't failed movies. Like the Jurassic Park Lost World wasn't really a failed movie.
Yeah, it's the least favorite.
Jurassic 3 was the least favorite.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you
that. Lost World wasn't bad, it just didn't have Sam Neill in it.
That's true.
If it had Sam Neill in it, it would have been 10 times better.
It had odd... Oh, yeah, I have a black daughter.
Yeah, it had... yeah, that... Well, they did qualify that with one line of dialogue. Do you see any family resemblance? The one was like... So we just went and watched The Scorch Trials,
and
which is the sequel to one of our most surprising films of the last couple years.
Yeah, I wouldn't say The Maze Runner is like a great movie, but definitely like going into it with as little expectations as I did, was honestly shocked at like, hey, here's a dystopian future movie that doesn't involve a love triangle or anything else like that. Like, the whole idea...
And it was designed towards teenagers, but it was also kind of dark.
Yeah, it was very dark. Kids got killed.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. Pretty regularly.
Quite a few of them.
Here, there's what, like 4 deaths in the whole movie? There's like 12 the last movie?
Hey, but the black guy didn't die, so...
It's true.
They did step it up in that regard, because the second he introduced himself, I was like, oh my god, 20 minutes max.
Yeah.
But I... This movie, everything that I was pleasantly surprised about The Maze Runner for,
mm-hmm.
I was surprisingly disappointed by in The Scorch Trials.
Yeah. Because, all right, so the first movie, for those of you who haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah. For everybody who apparently, for the 3 people that listen, spoilers as usual.
Yeah.
Ty, go watch The Maze Runner.
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
So we open on in The Maze Runner of a kid ascending in an elevator shaft and then awakening in a field
called the Glade.
Yeah. Then he finds basically a group of dudes who have been in the Glade, and every time that...
For anywhere from a month to 3 years.
Yeah, any time that elevator comes up, it usually has supplies and sometimes a person with it.
Always a person. And once a month, a person and supplies. That's
yeah.
It.
And then every night, the maze opens up, and there's a group of people who run the maze to try to map it called Maze Runners.
Yeah.
And
every day the maze opens.
Yeah.
And these people run through and map the maze trying to figure out a way out of it because mm-hmm. it's a fucking maze. There should be an exit somewhere.
Yeah, but the maze changes every night, but they're doing their best to...
Well, I mean, you find out that, like, throughout the course of the movie that the runners know every inch of the maze outside of the Glade. Like, they've ran the entire inch of it. There's just no way out technically.
And so then inside the maze, there's also these giant robot spiders.
What were they called?
Predators or Seekers or something like that?
Something like that. They were just these giant, like, half mechanical, half sentient... I don't know. It's kind of...
They're giant spiders.
They're mechanical spiders with fleshy heads.
Yes.
was the best way I could describe it.
Yeah, and then so they had to outsmart them, and you found if you killed one, you could get a transmitter.
They finally kill one by accident.
Yeah.
Because of the main character, Thomas, tricks one into going through an area of the maze that's changing, and it squishes the spider.
Yeah.
So they grab they see this, like, frickin' beacon on it that tells them everything they need to know about, hey, what section of the maze it came from, and that mm-hmm. if you take this to that section of the maze, it'll open up a special area. And, like, that's the way, like, you find out that's eventually the way out of the maze.
Yeah.
And it's like, they get out of the maze, and all of a sudden, all you see that happens is, like, everybody's fucking dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor of the whole thing apparently gets, like, shoots herself in the head while she's recording a message.
Basically saying, like, hey, we tried to help you guys.
You're the best hope for humanity, blah, blah, blah. And then they get saved by this, like, bunch of military-looking guys
uh-huh.
and get pulled into a helicopter and, like, flown away.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie. And it's,
and
honestly...
We're skipping over a bunch of deaths and a few betrayals and things like that. But other than that, it's a... It was a solid, like, aimed at teenagers, but anyone.
I mean,
could
out of six beers, I'd give it a 4.5.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
I mean, that's a pretty good score for a movie that I had zero expectation. I thought it was going to be like a shittier Divergent, which is to say, a Divergent inside of a Divergent.
Yeah. So then that movie ends with, it turns out the doctor didn't shoot herself, and she's like, "We're on to phase two."
Go.
And like,
which.
And there was a really cool shot where they're flying away and you see the maze from overhead.
Right, and you kind of see, like, what they came from, and then you see where they're heading to, and it's a bunch of, like, it's a dystopian, like, city that's all desert now, and all uh-huh. the buildings are, like, half fallen over and decrepit, and...
Yeah, so then we enter the Scorch Trials, which, from the title alone, I had assumed that they're either going into another kind of maze, or there's going to be some other kind of...
That's
kind of...
They said phase two, as in, like... There's a legitimate another trial, and not just what actually is supposed to happen,
yeah.
which is they're funneled in. You find out there's a shit ton of mazes.
Uh-huh.
That
one that's all female, one that's
well, I mean, the composition really doesn't matter. What happens is they create this entire story, which they don't even need to tell. Like, yeah. this entire, like, fantasy that, oh, they got saved from the maze, and
it's
now
so
they're going to...
It's so superfluous.
You have a helicopter. You could have flown right into the glade. I just broke the story.
Yeah.
Like, unless there's a one line of dialogue about anti-aircraft guns.
But there wasn't, because they ran the glade.
They ran the...
Yeah, so
but it,
basically, like, the whole concept is these kids in the maze are immune to something called the flare.
The flare. Oh, and that's actually explained in the first movie. The flare
yeah.
is a brain deterioration, like, virus.
Yeah.
That they don't have a cure for, but these kids somehow are immune. And the maze, or, like, the trials of being in the maze, somehow prepares them for something?
They don't quite explain that. And that's what you're hoping the sequel would tell you.
Like, why, like, if these kids are supposedly the future, then why were you leaving their life up to chance?
Yeah.
And
so you're hoping with that setup, because the first movie is ambiguous enough, you're like, oh, geez, I don't know why they were in this maze.
Right, and that's why the first movie was okay, is because it didn't answer questions as shittily.
Yeah, and then the second movie shows up like, oh, it turns out that what we want to do is harvest your body for specific chemicals your body creates that
AKA
make you
Blade 3.
Yeah, it's the human harvesting in Blade 3. And so here's our first shitty movie we're going to come across.
I mean, like, if you had to pick a Blade movie, albeit Ryan Reynolds is in it, but...
Yeah, it's the worst of the Blade movies.
I mean, but, like... And the Blade movies aren't particularly amazing to start with.
Nah.
Like, the first one was good because it was kind of like one of the first really gory comic book...
It was the first comic book movie.
But it was super... It was super, like, gory and shit, which was kind of a game changer, but...
And the second one was Guillermo del Toro, and the second one's actually pretty good.
Yeah, the second one's not bad. But... Like, so these kids get saved, they get flown to a place, and the first thing that happens is the helicopter lands, and everybody's like, oh my god, cranks! And you see, like, these, like,
and it's not basically... It's not a sea of Jason Stathams who need to use adrenaline to stay alive.
I probably would have rather watched that movie, because
yeah.
Crank, as bad as it was, like, hilariously bad.
Yeah.
Not just bad. Like, it kind of, I don't know, maybe they didn't think it was that bad when they made it, but... it seems like it makes fun of itself.
Yeah, no, it's in that realm.
But they land, and then these like crank things start coming over the sand dune, and everybody starts shooting at them, and the kids get run into this facility. Long story short, they get put in with a whole bunch of other kids who got quote-unquote saved from their respective mazes.
Much like The Island by Michael Bay.
Oh, God. Damn. I mean, we could probably just make an entire show about the movies that this movie reminds us of.
I'm pretty sure that's what this movie is going to be, so let's continue.
Yeah. Continue on. But then, you know, the main character doesn't trust everybody, which nobody watching the movie would trust anybody, because yeah. The guy they picked for, like, the head of security of this place is, like, the most weaselly looking character on the planet.
He's Littlefinger
from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, no, you don't trust him whatsoever.
You don't trust him as far as you can throw him, which is actually pretty far, but still not trust him.
And then there's, like, one kid who'd been there the longest, and he'd been there for, like, I think they said a week.
Yeah.
And he already looks, like, shifty and doesn't trust anybody.
Right.
And it's just, like, it didn't add up.
It didn't. And then the shifty kid gets in touch with Thomas, who's, they start going through the ducts of the place, which is terrible security.
Yeah.
But they find out that there's this whole, like, harvesting where their brains are excreting. You don't figure this out at the time, but you just see a bunch of humans, like, a bunch of the kids from different mazes hooked up to wires and shit, and they're basically just being drained of bodily fluids. Kept alive, but just blade through.
Yeah, and then, like, the girl of the group is somehow in there, and then she's fine, like, a minute later. Like, yeah, we drained her fluids, and
that was back in the group. I don't think that was her. I think that was the one that Eris found.
Oh, that's right.
That was okay. Eris's, like, oh, I saw her. I said it would be okay. It's cute.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So then they decide to mutiny and escape through a long-winded chase scene.
Okay. You're one kid with, like, a taser shotgun, basically, against... I mean, it was about 10 dudes, 2 with riot shields and 3 people with the same taser shotguns.
Yeah.
And a door opens and you fire like 3 shots and somehow...
Nothing happens.
Nothing. You run through the door and then, a la A New Hope by Star Wars, he yells at him to close the frickin' door to prevent the dude from escaping.
3PO, close the blast door.
And then they all run up behind the door as it was forced closed, like a fucking blast door in Star Wars. Open the blast door! Open the blast door!
Yeah. Boring conversation, Andy.
And even when the dude was trying to break into the door into the lab, he's like falling out, just like in the detention block of A New Hope. And I'm like, just shoot that guy, and then they gotta climb over him, and it's even more like New Hope. But they break out, and they get into this, they break into the desert. Circa, it's actually San Francisco because the Golden Gate Bridge is there, because you had to have a point of reference. You couldn't just assume it was a dystopian city.
Can we just stop and say how much terrible shit has happened to that the Golden Gate Bridge in movies?
If there is one city I will never live in, it's one with a super obvious landmark.
Yeah.
And San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge,
let's see. It's been attacked by apes in Planet of the Apes. It was torn in half by Magneto to make a bridge to
San Andreas. Ripped it apart.
Yeah.
I
liked San Andreas a lot, by the way. Did you see that?
No, I haven't yet.
Dude, it's solid.
I wouldn't think The Rock at this point in his career would do anything that wouldn't at least be funny bad.
I'm going to go as far as to say, and this will be a stretch that my wife will probably hate me for saying, I think it's this generation's Twister.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Pretty solidly. Like, it's a disaster movie.
So you put The Rock on par with...
Bill Paxton. Yeah.
Huh.
And especially because, like, all right, just to divert from this movie to talk about...
We were just trying to get to a point where we could divert from the movie.
Yeah, yeah. So in San Andreas, one of the most refreshing things about the movie is, like, so you know from the trailer that The Rock... pilots
a helicopter
for the fire department, and he's a rescue guy.
Oh, I had no idea. I just saw that he piloted a helicopter. I didn't know if he had, like, punched some dude and took it over or what.
No, here's what's great. So he has to rescue his wife at one point from an earthquake in a helicopter, and they're flying to go get their daughter, who's in San Francisco. And you're thinking, like, okay, this is going to be over pretty quick because they're in a helicopter. It's like, nope, they run out of fuel and they have to crash land. And then, like, from that point on...
I feel like that's day one, like... That's, like, day one copter piloting for the fire department kind of shit.
Well, he even says, like, there's a great line of dialogue as he's, like, flying in. He's, like, the wife calls. He's talking to her, and he's like, hey, yeah, I'm flying this in to so-and-so. I need to get some routine maintenance done.
Okay. One line of dialogue.
Yeah, but it worked. It was so good, because then, like, then... The helicopter's gone, and they have to find other ways to get there. They wind up taking every mode of transportation possible.
So it was the San Andreas version of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I made that joke while we were watching.
This is the disaster movie version of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. R.I.P. John Candy.
Yeah, and it was a fun disaster movie, if that makes any sense. Because, like, I mean...
Well, Twister was a freaking, like... blast to watch, even though it's like people fearing for their lives the whole time.
San Andreas was like that. It's just on a grander scale.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, millions of people dying, but
yeah,
it's a good time.
Yeah. So then, all right. So back to the Maze Runner.
So they break out into the city, and then they find this camp while they're hiding from.
I think there's a random line like "Good luck surviving the Scorch," which made you think they were going into the Scorch Trials. Like, maybe.
Well, this was like the way, like, okay, we'll preface this by saying obviously we haven't read the books.
No.
What was the next one called? The third book is called the Death Cure. The
terrible title.
The Death Cure. Like, that's just not even trying. That seems like a working title that they got stuck with.
That's a metal band's album that stopped being a metal band.
Yeah, that's a metal band that became smooth R&B.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Get it? See where I'm going there?
That's exactly what you're doing there.
But the way it was played out in the first movie was stage two. And then they even say it when they escape the building, like, good luck surviving the Scorch. It made it seem like this was, like, the Maze part two.
Yeah.
Like, this was all built to
We've had kids survive the Maze. We haven't had many survive the Scorch.
And the way the trailer played out was, okay, it almost seemed like they let him go. Like, they were resourceful enough to break out, but we're not going to really chase after him. We're going to just kind of let him, we're just going to push him to where they need to go next.
Yeah.
But it wasn't actually like that as you played it out. The biggest thing that could have, it's such a out of left field moment, because in the first movie they say the flare killed people. Like, they didn't say that that the flare changed people.
Yeah.
Like, so they break into this building and they find supplies that people used to live there, and they're finding supplies, and one guy, the Asian guy, flips on the switch for the generator, and all of a sudden fucking zombies start rushing at him circa Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
And you're like, where the fuck did zombies come from in this movie?
Uh-huh.
Like, there was no mention of zombies. And unfortunately, there's no real other mention of why there are zombies. Yeah. How people become zombies. Like, how, like, the different stages of zombie work. Like, in a zombie movie, they always, like, at least preface that. This was, like, a movie that wanted to capitalize on zombies being popular, but didn't actually go through the trouble.
Yeah, they didn't take the time to explain, here's how zombies are created, here's
They just call them cranks.
Here are the rules, yeah.
They come after you. If they scratch you, they infect you, which is very zombie-esque.
Yeah.
And...
So even if you're one of these young kids who apparently have the cure in you...
Basically, this is I Am Legend 300 years from now.
That's a good way to put it.
Because there are people that are immune to the airborne pathogen, but they're not immune to nobody's immune to the actual, like...
The physical bite.
Which is exactly the plot of I Am Legend.
Wow, yeah. Okay, so there's another movie. I mean, I like I Am
Legend,
but...
And the fucking Euphoria, the place that they want to go to, is in the fucking mountains, just like in I Am Legend.
Yeah.
Except the mountains are clear across the country, but... Same exact thing.
So then they meet a ragtag group of rebels.
That want to sell.
Am I missing anything?
Oh, yeah. You kind of dozed off there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
No, the Indian kid got scratched and eventually was about to turn, but put a gun to his head while they were walking away. So the group didn't actually keep the gun.
Oh, yeah.
They left the gun... in a survival situation, and all they have, like, literally at this point, after, like, running from the cranks and all this shit and getting away, why do you not have, like, one of them had a bat. that was the extent of their, like, defense at this point.
Yeah.
And here's my other thing about it. The cranks, they hide from them. They find a place to hide for the night. They fall asleep. The next morning, they wake up. No cranks in sight.
That's
so
true.
So yeah. The obvious thing you think of is it's like I Am Legend, where they can't be out in the sunlight.
And then we run into the set of Transformers 3.
But then for 4 days long, for like literally like they make it seem like it's about 4 days worth of time. They travel and never encounter another fucking crank.
Uh-huh.
What the fuck? Like,
yeah. And then we run into the set of Transformers 3 later on in the movie where you have the tilted skyscraper leaned up against another skyscraper
in the dystopian desert future.
Yeah, and then the cranks run into the sunlight.
And the cranks are running in the sunlight. Like, you think, like, when they run outside, they're like, oh, God, okay, they start climbing up the thing. Oh, God, they're going to be safe. They're going to go outside and be like, no, they just go outside and start chasing them. So I'm like, why the fuck weren't the cranks chasing him for the 4 days they had to get to that point?
It made no sense. And then they run into Barry Pepper, of all people.
They run into Barry Pepper after they run into Alan Tudyk.
Ooh, wait, can we talk about the sniper bridge?
Yeah, go for it.
They run to Alan Tudyk first.
They run into Alan Tudyk first. And so they run into, what was his name, Marcus?
Marcus. And they need to find him to get to...
The right hand. Which is like a resistance group that's living in the mountains.
Is it the right hand or the right arm?
Right hand, I thought. Right arm, maybe. I don't know.
Appendage of some kind.
On the right side of their body.
Anyway, so they run into Alan Tudyk, who's like, yeah... Drink this.
Drink this, and then you'll be able... I'll take you to your friends. And so this dude, like the main character Thomas, and this girl that just met up with that, like the group, but they got separated from the main group, so it's just this girl and Thomas. Drink it, which is apparently, like, for a 16-year-old, taking a shot of vodka apparently makes you on ecstasy.
And I think it was, like, absinthe. But absinthe is
just liquor.
Yeah, even then. So, like, they take a shot. They basically
We'll call it ecstasy.
They walk into a rave that's, like, 90% women. And there's three rave dudes.
And it's a lot of underage women.
Yeah.
Because everybody involved in this movie is supposed to be, like, between 14 and, like, 17.
And Alan Tudyk's there all partying, like, yeah, woo!
By the way, Alan Tudyk, I want to party with you!
Yeah, that party looks sweet. And so then, like, the main guy comes to... After passing out,
he makes out with the new girl, but then pulls back and sees that it's the first girl that there wasn't really, and that was actually a good thing
in the first triangle movie.
Yeah. Well, it was actually a good thing in the first movie. There was a sexual like tension, but there was no love story at all.
Yeah,
it was just pure survival.
And this one tried to kind of shoehorn that in a weird way.
It's like you did so good of a job of not screwing it up in the first one that you decided to just completely go the other way in the second one. I couldn't understand it, but...
Yeah, I agree.
But they wake up, and Alan Tudyk's getting his ass beat by Jorge,
uh-huh.
Who's, like, a new member of their group, and he's older. He's probably in his, like, 40s, give or take. Beating the shit out of him, trying to figure out where this place is. And then they steal his car, and they head to where Marcus said the...
Yeah, Marcus said, like, where they need to meet up at. And there's, like, a spot in a bridge where there's a tunnel. There's a whole bunch of other cars that are down.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we're going to go on foot. And they're walking. And one guy's like, hey, what's this bullet hole shaped bullet doing?
Yeah,
he puts his
hand over, like, a hole in the glass that looks oddly like a bullet, which is apparently the signal to fire guns at people.
Yeah. No sense waiting while a bunch of guys get out of the car and grab guns and weapons. Just wait for one guy to find a bullet hole and start rubbing it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then two dames show up and they threaten to shoot everybody.
Which I will say, the percentage of femme fatale, like, awesome hot women that can handle themselves in this movie is pretty spot on.
Yeah, that's true.
I was pretty stoked that the women in this movie could handle their own.
And they just happened to know the one guy who'd been at the place for a week.
I'm like, well, the one line of dialogue when they're all eating lunch, he was in an all-female one. Yeah. He was like the one
Some guys can have all the luck. That was
Some guys have all the luck. And when you make me sing Rod Stewart in a survival action movie,
yeah,
you done fucked up.
And then they're driving through the desert, and they're getting shot at. And, that was the best. One of my favorite moments was that I got to make was... You know, they're in the desert, they get shot, they can't find out where it's coming from, and I went, hey, hey, hey.
another New Hope reference that is priceless. It's like, the right hand walking single file to hide their numbers.
Yeah, so then they meet up with the right hand, and they're all pretty good guys, and things are going all right. Then you get the explanation about the brain chemicals.
Okay, so this is kind of like the turning point, because like up until now you've had a pretty solid like base of what's going on, and you assume that this is all a trial to this point. And you assume, and you're trying to figure out like why. Like, why are they harvesting these kids, and what is it? And then this doctor, who is a former doctor under the main doctor of Wicked, which is the name of the fucking organization that they're running away from, is WKKD, and it's an acronym for something. But when your name of your organization acronym is Wicked,
yeah,
you need to take a step back and take stock as to what you're doing.
Yeah, it's like when the second in command of your entire organization is Darth Vader, you need to step back and look at your image.
if your radio station is playing the Imperial March more than five times a day, what are the acronym for your station? What's it called?
Welcome to WKKD in the live morning zoo.
Welcome to WKKD, the Wicked.
Yeah.
And you're playing the Imperial March, you should really think about how evil of an organization you're becoming.
Yeah, so then they attack the right hand, and the right hand gets their ass kicked.
Well, the love interest betrays them all, leads them to the right hand, blah, 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 shit happens. Thomas breaks it up, and fight ensues. Wicked leaves with the love interest, who's on their side now, and the Asian, who is the best surprise survival from the first movie.
Oh, yeah. Guy who I thought was dead like 10 minutes in.
Oh, the second you saw him, I was like, yeah, he's probably going to die. It's probably going to be a cool death. It's going to be like a saving someone death, but it was probably
like a
death.
Go on without me death.
Yeah, kind of. But no, he survived the first movie just to get tranked in the second movie and towed away to nowhere.
Yeah.
And then it ends with them deciding to basically full frontal attack Wicked.
The rest of the group's like, all right, so we keep going to the safe haven, and we'll get you guys there, and everything will be all right. And then one guy's
and
like,
we'll meet Will Smith, and everything will be cool.
And then the one guy's like, hey, guys, I'm not going with you. I'm going to go ahead and get some revenge. And then one guy's like, hey, revenge sounds all right. And then the rest of the group's like, fuck safe haven. We're going for revenge.
I mean, would you not at this point? Why wouldn't you just try to dismantle Wicked at this point?
At this point, though, I'm wondering where the trials are.
There is no trials. Like, the Scorch Trials is a complete fucking misnomer.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking stupid. Like, the whole reason you think they kind of allude to letting them into the Scorch is that it's all a part of their master plan. And it's not fucking at all.
Yeah, it's not. Ugh. One bit. And, like, so that's, like, that's the other problem is it's, like, so once you find this out, it's like, so why are you putting the kids that have the cure into a maze that will kill them?
So unfortunately, the biggest problem with this movie was too much plot explanation. Because we got too much information about shit we didn't really need, and it brought up way too many holes. Like, if you're harvesting these kids for... You find out you're... Like, these kids are basically just being hooked up to harvesters, where this enzyme is being excreted from their brains in order to provide potential immunity for those who aren't immune already to the flare.
Yeah.
But what you don't ever get an answer to is why the fuck they were put through these trials in the first place.
Yeah, it's not like, hey, you have to run through the maze to up your adrenal gland. Like, it would be something if it was like, man, you have to have a certain adrenaline.
That would seriously have been it would have been a one line of dialogue fix. They used about five of them in the movie. Why couldn't they?
But there was nothing. It was just like, hey, we threw these kids in a maze, and turns out a bunch of them died.
Well, and that's our bad. That was my joke at the end of the movie. I leaned over and I was like, so is there like? It seems like incredibly inefficient to just put people into a maze if you don't need them to be there in order to extract their gland. It just seems like you're wasting harvestable brains. Which I would have probably, I don't know. We were planning on having a guest, two guests on the show.
Yeah.
We went to this showing. I mean, it hasn't been out for that long. It's only been out for like a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk into the theater and there's nobody there but us. It's literally us, and it's 4 minutes to curtain. And then right before curtain starts, a couple walks in and sits down about 10 rows in front of us. And I was really just considering inviting them to be on the show. Just to have a random fucking person to tell us to agree with us on how bad this movie was.
Yeah, they would have been great guests.
Yeah.
Anyway. I have expected them to get up halfway through the movie and walk out.
See, well, I mean, I think they were waiting for us to walk out so they could fool around.
Probably.
Sorry, if you guys are listening to this.
I don't know.
That's our bad.
They brought in snacks. I don't know how much you want to fool around with buttery popcorn hands. I mean, not saying I haven't.
I mean, but they're already buttery.
That's true. And you got napkins for cleanup.
Great moments in hookup history. But no, the movie was completely... Like, it's okay to leave questions unanswered. It's not okay to leave plot holes.
Correct.
And this movie didn't leave any questions unanswered that weren't plot holes. And not a fan.
Okay, so
out of six beers, I give it a 1.5.
I would give it a 1
out of a 6-pack.
Is that our new rating system?
Out of a 6-pack, I'm gonna give it a 1.5 beers out of 6-pack.
Okay, well, also now that that movie's done and we've only been recording for.
Yeah, see, with Kingsman, we were like 2 hours deep before we even got to like the fucking final fight scene.
Yeah, we're not even at like a how did this get made mini episode. So we got to do something else. So I'm gonna do something I've been planning on doing for a little while, since this is for some of you who haven't been following the podcast. Tony is shipping off to the Navy soon, so we don't have a whole lot of together podcasts left before we got to start switching to Skype only.
Ugh, and yeah. Those are just
they
just haven't worked out. We should just phone it in.
Yeah,
quite literally.
All right. So instead, we're going to go in a different route for this episode. So sit back and check this out.
Oh, God. I'm curious to know where you're going with this.
Well, as Tony's favorite guilty pleasure movies are happen to be dance movies, we're going to go through a list of dance movies before Tony takes off. Tony's the only person I know who owns 2 copies of Dirty Dancing Havana Nights, so we're going to talk about that for a little while.
I only want 1 copy at a time. Oh, God, they are my guilty pleasure. It's unfortunate.
All right, so... I didn't prepare any of this. We're going to go a lot of this off the top of my head.
I mean, honestly, I don't have much to go with. I will say that Pitch Perfect is probably one of my... It's not a dance movie, but it's probably one of my favorite guilty pleasures of all time. All
right, so let's start
with... Mostly because 2 of my 5 are in that movie.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Anna Kendrick and Britney Snow. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's start with Dirty Dancing, the first one.
I mean, you're going to put Baby in the Corner this early?
We're going to put Baby in the Corner this early.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's go with our 6-pack rating. All right, this might be kind of fun.
Oh, this actually will be kind of fun. I'm gonna start looking up movies for us to give a 6-pack rating to that are like dance movies.
All right, so let's start with Dirty Dancing. So you got Patrick Swayze.
See, the funny thing is, I never watched this movie all the way through until I was 20.
I watched it 2 years ago for the first time. So yeah, 22.
Really?
Yeah.
2 years ago, you weren't 22.
Fuck off.
This is 3 drink minimum, not 12.
Fine, I was 25.
That's fairly... Wow, that's impressive, considering, like, you and I, like, as far as movie guys go, the fact that neither of us had seen it before we were 18, and we still got laid somehow?
Somehow.
Yeah, we found other movies.
Yeah.
I will say that it's a little bit dated when you watch it now. God, Patrick Swayze's so good, though. It's kind of like watching...
And Jennifer Grey. I mean, they're...
She's 80s hot. She's like, I wanted to bang Bueller's sister so bad.
Yeah. You know she's married to Agent Coulson?
Really?
Yeah.
Good for Coulson.
After the nose job, nobody wanted to hire her anymore. Apparently, that's one of the
really? Hollywood I haven't seen her post nose job. So.
Yeah, I've seen her post. I wouldn't recognize her. You wouldn't either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if someone didn't tell you that was Jennifer Grey, you wouldn't know.
I'd say, hey, is that Ashley Simpson?
Yeah.
Nah. I will say, though, that even though it's dated, it's still fun to watch. And there's a reason that people quote it constantly, because those moments are pretty fucking timeless.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, the holding her up in the fucking lake.
Yeah.
Is, god damn it.
And then you can't get...
You're going to make me go into the Navy with this floating around that I like dance movies?
Yeah. This is happening. All right. And so out of a six pack, what do you rate Dirty Dancing?
Four.
Four? So Time of Your Life gets four beers
four,
out of six.
Four out of six. And that's honestly only because I didn't watch it earlier. Like,
okay, that's fair.
The younger I would have watched it, the more it would have had staying power with me.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and get this one out of the way early then.
No,
Dirty Dancing Havana Nights.
DDHN.
The only one who calls it.
Literally the only one on this planet. Other than Katie. My sister Katie calls it. She's the one who got me saying it. But I watched it with her, who was it? I was talking with Heather about a movie that I had seen. And she was like, how have you seen that movie? And I was like, my sister introduced it to me. And I come to realize that my sister's introduced me to Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. I saw it because my sister was watching it, and when I was growing up, the basement was the only place I ever hung out at. So if she already had the TV, I just had to suck it up.
Yeah, all I know about Dirty Dancing Havana Nights is it takes place in Cuba, and Patrick Swayze is like a mentor in the movie.
It takes place 30 years prior to the first Dirty Dancing. So
prior?
It's
kind
of, it takes place in the 50s. During the American occupation in Cuba.
That's the same time frame the first one takes place in. It's the 50s.
Yeah, but this is not a true sequel at all.
Oh, okay.
All
right.
It is not at all. This one takes place far before the first Dirty Dancing.
Is there an abortion plot in it?
No, but there might have been a... what the fuck's the kid's name that was the big news in the 90s for Elian? Elian Gonzalez?
Yeah.
There might be an Elian Gonzalez that came back with him.
Okay.
But this was when America was still in Cuba. And this girl's dad, these two sisters, and their girl's dad was moved to Cuba to work for the fucking government or some damn thing. So they're basically living out of a hotel. She meets a fucking bartender. They start dancing. Of course, she has a background in fine dancing, like ballroom dancing and shit. And he's into salsa, and she loves apparently salsa and salsa.
So salsa qualifies as dirty dancing.
To Americans in the 50s.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Probably. But they enter a dance competition to win enough money to move this kid and his family to America. And this happens to be exactly around the time that Fidel wins the revolution and kicks all the Americans out.
Okay.
So, like, they go to the finals, or they win the quarterfinals, and they go to the finals despite all the odds, and then it gets busted up by a bunch of people that break in and try to, like, shoot a bunch of American or Cuban diplomats or whatever. And then they break out. And everybody's okay. And then, oh, hey, all the Americans are leaving. And they have to leave each other forever, but not before they have not very well disguised passionate love on the beach.
Oh, okay. One of those movies.
Eh.
So out of six pack, what do you give Dirty Dancing?
What did I give? Four to DDHN? Oh, no, four to Dirty Dancing?
Yeah.
And Patrick Swayze as, like, the mentors, the kind of creepy mentor dance instructor for the hotel that gives this girl advice is, like, just fucking priceless. And he died, like, 2 years after that was made or something, so.
Yeah.
It's a period piece, so it holds up a shitload better than the first one.
The first one's technically a period piece, but you actually wouldn't know it.
But you wouldn't know it. You would just assume it took place in the 80s.
Okay.
Because the way it was filmed and all that shit. I'm gonna give it a four as well. I can't put it above it, but I won't put it beneath it.
All right, that's fair. I'll give you that. I haven't seen it, so I can't rate it.
Just rate it anyway. Fuck it.
Fucking three.
Yeah,
three. Three B. beers.
I'll take it.
Footloose.
Original or remake?
Original. I've never seen the remake.
Yeah, don't see the remake. Like, Footloose doesn't... There's no reason a remake... They tried to make it, like, the plot. They tried to make the plot work in today's world. It won't.
It doesn't. Because, like, back in the 80s, there were still pockets of people that still burnt
books. Well, I mean, there's still dry counties in the United States, even though nobody living in those counties doesn't drink.
Yeah.
Because the only, like, the dry counties of the world are the shittiest counties, so that drinking and meth are the only ways you can forget you live there.
Exactly. Now, like, I knew Blake Shelton did a cover of Footloose for the remake.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do covers of everything else? Like, was there like a cover of Sammy Hagar's "That Girl Gets Around"? Like,
not really.
Did anyone want to hear it for the boy?
No, it was. There were like three poppy remake or three like poppy Footloose. It's just
Heaven helps the man who fights his fears.
No, it's not
it wasn't
that.
There. Oh, come on.
Honestly, like, and I will at least give them credit that they went with original. Was
there
song.
At least an angry dance scene in a bar too? There's, never hide your heart.
Damn it. No. Unfortunately not. No, the sequel was fucking atrocious. If I could give it one beer bottle, I would, but I won't. The original. What do you qualify the original as?
The original? Out of a six-pack, honestly, that's a solid 4, if not a 5.
I mean, you can go halvesies, too.
Okay, that's a 4.5.
Okay. I'll put it right up there with you, because...
Footloose is a bit of a rough watch, because it is a movie of its time. There's a lot of great 80s movies, then there's great 80s movies
for
of their
the
80s.
Time. Yeah. it's funny because like, I watched Days of Thunder now and I'm just like, God, this is the most dated movie ever.
But no. I will argue the most dated movie of all time is War Games.
Well, yeah. I mean, any movie that involves technology that's over 20 years old is a dated fucking
just
movie.
The whole thing in War Games is the computer runs a simulation where it believes that Russia is sending nuclear
right.
missiles. And the U.S. can't determine...
Say nuclear?
Nuclear.
Yes, thank you.
is sending... And then the...
I'm on a mission to civilize.
The dumbass people at, like, NORAD can't determine if it's a simulation or not, so they're...
Well, the computer thinks they're nuclear weapons. What do you want me to do? Just look out a window? Oh, no, you don't want to be anywhere near a window. Same with tornadoes.
That's the case. God damn it.
And I got my Arthur joke in.
Yep.
We're good.
Alright. So yeah, so Footloose is good.
Oh, yeah, I'll give you a 4.5 as well. I thought it was better than both Dirty Dancings.
Uh-huh.
But it is pretty fucking dated.
Okay.
But Kevin Bacon dancing alone in a warehouse.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about timeless scenes, like that's just right there.
And then, so I got 4.5, and then would you agree with
yeah,
that?
I 100% agree with you, 4.5.
I mean, it's worth it just for the angry dance scene in the barn alone to never... And then, so that works. And, like, even as an 80s movie, it's fun. Whereas Dirty Dancing has some odd spots to it.
Dirty Dancing had... Whereas the entire plot of Footloose was fighting the powers that be to allow dancing. Dirty Dancing Event of Nights was like, was basically like fighting. It was like class warfare.
Did you ever see Flashdance?
She's a stripped-down girl on a Saturday night, looking for the fight of a life. Yes, I've seen fucking Flashdance.
All right, so, I mean, Flashdance is fucking great. So out of six beers, what do you give it?
I give it the same as Footloose.
I'm gonna go five. I think that's a solid fucking movie.
Flashdance is a fucking hilarious movie. It's so good.
Yeah.
Why'd you ask me if I've seen Flashdance? The entire reason you brought this up is because you said I love dance movies. Good lord.
Okay. So let's get a little more contemporary. I had to get the 80s out of the way.
Because that was like the golden era of dance movies. Because
people would riot.
Yeah, people would riot if we hadn't covered them first.
All right, so let's move to...
So now that everybody in the crowd who's under 20 is still listening and over 20 has logged off, what are we going to next?
Let's go with Save the Last Dance.
Dude. I have to preface this with that song holds a very special place in my heart.
Yeah, you lost your virginity to that movie.
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah, it's all right. Maybe that's where my love of dance movies came from. Yeah, yeah. And Montel Jordan. If I ever meet Montel Jordan, I will kiss him on the lips. Yeah, because
I can't say it works for me because I lost my virginity to The Notebook. Don't Google the year on that. And I still don't like Nicholas Sparks movies, except for Safe Haven. That movie's actually all right.
Safe Haven.
Yeah, check it out sometime.
No. Who's in Safe Haven?
Josh Duhamel and a whole bunch of nobodies.
Oh. I thought I'd seen that. Okay, I guess I hadn't.
Yeah, yeah.
But, what were we talking about?
Dance movies. Save the Last Dance.
Oh, Save the Last Dance.
You lost your virginity to it.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's kind of like... It was kind of like that the 90s version of Dirty Dancing, though.
Yeah, for the
most part. It's like a girl, she didn't make it into Juilliard because she was too white and uppity, even for Juilliard.
Yep.
And so she moves in with her dad after her mom dies, I think, is what the plot was.
Along those lines, yeah. But she moves into a more urban
and her
area.
And her dad lives in an urban area of town, so she ends up going to a very urban school. And she's getting her ass beat by girls.
What is she, two-stepping?
Damn it. Ha! Busted! This is actually about you, isn't it?
Fuck off!
But,
Let's do my research.
Lots and lots of research. But she meets this urban guy with... What did I say urban? Because I'm still thinking of Archer.
Yeah.
That's why. She meets...
The real class act.
So she meets this guy, and everybody who knows her or is involved with her says to stay away from him because he's black for various reasons. Even the black people are like, stay away from him.
Yeah.
He black, he white, ain't gonna work. Man, that was a super racist.
But Julia Stiles?
Julia Stiles, yeah. So he kind of teaches her how to, like, get out of her, like, rigid life and... to kind of like loosen up and be more free with herself, and that's what ends up getting her into Juilliard.
Uh-huh.
Is because she's kind of accepted, like, that if you want to be, you can't just be a ballet dancer to achieve your dreams as a ballet dancer. You have to also go dance in clubs and grind against random people.
All right, that's fair. So out of a six pack, what do you give Save the Last Dance?
Honestly, that movie's phenomenal.
So the six pack?
Five and a half.
Oh, wow. You didn't give it the full six?
I didn't give it the full six. The full six... It gets a celebrity half a beer because I lost my virginity to it. It's a five. Okay. It's a five and a half from my movie going perspective. Okay. It gets a perfect six from the fact that I came to Montel Jordan's Get On Tonight. Or, go somewhere and get it all tonight.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh my God, Heather better not ever listen to this.
Yeah, no, my wife's being pissed if she listens to this too. Hey. She's been mad we did the dance podcast without her. Because, let's see, the next one I would need to bring up, so let's see if... Because I never saw Save the Last Dance, I just remember
Save the Last Dance was kind of like...
I mean, I know it's a solid movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like Dirty Dancing meets West Side Story.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah.
So then, let's go with another movie where a rigid girl meets a dancer who teaches her the better ways of street dancing. And let's go with Step Up.
Nah, I knew you were going to go there. That fucking movie.
Yeah.
Elizabeth
made me watch it about a couple months ago, and I was just like, yeah, honey, that was all right.
Was Channing Tatum in the first one?
Yeah, he's in the first one, has a cameo in the second.
I mean, Channing Tatum as an actor is pretty fucking good.
Yeah, but that was pre-actor Channing Tatum.
Yeah, that was like some female producer was at a strip club and saw him and gave him a movie spot.
Oddly enough, he married his co-star in that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're still married to this day.
Huh. Good, Channing.
Because
way to break stereotypes.
Yeah, because she was only in one other movie, and we'll get to that shortly.
Was it Coach Carter?
No, it was not Coach Carter. You can't do the 7 degrees of separation to Coach Carter.
I don't know. No, you probably couldn't. Okay. No, I mean, it's got Sam Jackson in it. You could probably do the 7 degrees of Sam Jackson just as easily as the Kevin Bacon.
Probably. Anyway, so what would you give out of a six-pack for Step 2? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what about Step Up to the Streets?
Can't say I ever saw it.
I did, and it's... slightly better than the first one, if just for the sheer fact of the dance quality is better.
I'll go with whatever you go with.
I'll go with a 2.5 on that. Yeah.
Just because I don't actually.
And yeah. I think it's safe to say they never saw Step Up 3D.
Yeah, I had. No, I'm just kidding. No, right. We're gonna
go on to my favorite dance movie, which also happens to feature Mrs. Channing Tatum, and that is Take the Lead, starring Antonio Banderas.
I've never even seen that movie.
Oh yeah, you haven't seen that?
Uh-uh.
It's actually a pretty sweet movie.
The only reason you like it is because it has Antonio Banderas
so. And Rufio.
When was this movie made?
Let's see, it was
when he was Rufio, or 20 years later?
20 years later.
So the only reason you knew it was Rufio is you saw it, you fucking Googled it.
No, he hasn't aged, okay? He's still in Neverland.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah,
if you see Rufio today, you'd be like, fucking Rufio.
Is he Asian or Hispanic?
He's Hispanic.
Spanasian?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But that's funny. I can't imagine Rufio in any other movie. Like, I kind of assume that if I was in a role that timeless, I would mm-hmm. just give it up.
Yeah, the whole concept in Take the Lead is Antonio Banderas volunteers his time. He's a ballroom dancing instructor, and he goes to like an inner city school and starts teaching ballroom dancing. Apparently, it's based on
true story. It came out recently, didn't it? Recently, as in like the last like 2 or 3 years.
No, like the last 10 years, something like that.
Really? Huh. I must have seen. I must have seen something about that recently. Yeah.
I want to say it was like 03 or 04.
Whatever. The timing doesn't actually matter.
Yeah. And and it's just these inner city kids start to mix in hip hop with the
I know exactly ballroom what you're dancing talking about
thing.
Now.
Yeah. And then they all enter this big dance competition at the end. And
how do I reach these kids?
It's just it's Lean on Me, but ballroom dancing.
I mean, like, if you'd have just said it was Lean on Me with anything else, I probably would have seen it, because God, I love that fucking movie.
Yeah.
Damn it, Morgan Freeman. We just need to have a Morgan Freeman podcast.
At one point, we'll have the Freeman.
We'll just start up doing actor podcasts, because there are probably about 15 actor and actress podcasts that we could just do entire bits about.
That's entirely true. Okay,
so what do you give that one?
That one? I would give that one a solid 5.
Solid 5.
Yeah.
Solid.
There's a weird side plot about a drug dealer, but it doesn't really go anywhere. So okay. It's okay. It's not one of those things that overly encompasses the storyline. Are we missing any other big dance movies?
I don't know. I'd completely forgot about Save the Last Dance until he fucking said it. Yeah. Jesus.
Well, there was that spoof movie called Dance Movie. That was a thing.
I stopped watching spoof movies after Scary Movie 2. Scary Movie 1 was, like, new and innovative. And Scary Movie 2 was kind of funny and shit. And then after that, they just got, like, just making fun of it. It's making fun of Hollywood making fun of itself. Or making fun of Hollywood taking itself too seriously. It's basically what all those movies became.
Alright, so we've got okay, 3 movies, or 4 movies I can't believe we didn't bring up.
See, that's my point.
Okay.
This is why we do research.
Yeah, that's why we should do
research. Should do research, but we never will.
First off, okay, this is going to be the iffy one. Did you see Stomp the Yard?
God, I did, actually.
Yeah. Is it as forgettable as I remember it being?
It's absolutely forgettable.
So that's a 2-beer movie.
It's a 1.5.
Okay. Let's go with a classic. Saturday Night Fever.
Ooh, a little John Travolta.
Yeah.
God. Really, honestly, the only parts I really gave a shit about in that movie was, like, the montage dance scene.
Yeah, same here.
That's really it. Like, that's really all I could tell you.
That movie's aged poorly.
Well, I mean, it's a movie about disco. And, like, we're at 40 years since disco has been a thing. So, but that montage of dancing and all that shit, like, that's still in my mind to this day. Like, I saw some weird YouTube video where they showed, like, all the Warcraft characters dancing versions of that song, and I was just like, oh my god, this is freaking perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So out of 6 beers, what'd you give Saturday Night Fever?
I have to abstain from even giving it, because I don't even know enough about the story anymore to...
Yeah, I'll give it a 3 just for its stake as a classic movie.
Yeah.
But still, it hasn't aged all that well. Uh-uh. Now, 11 years ago, a movie was released.
So what, 2004?
Yes. A little movie called You Got Served.
Oh, Jesus. I'll give that movie a 6 just for the South Park episode based around it.
I'll give the South Park episode a 6. I'll give that movie a 1.
If you serve them and serve you back, it's on. Don't you know anything?
Okay, I'm going to go with, 2000s, so 15 years ago. Do you consider Bring It On a dance movie, or is that a cheerleading movie?
I mean, it's a cheerleading movie, but it is, like, choreographed dance routines, so, I mean, yeah. And the fact that I would definitely call that in my, like, shit, how old were we? 2000? We were in, what, like,
middle school?
Seventh, eighth grade?
Seventh grade, yeah.
I remember we fucking rented that and watched it one night at your house on a sleepover.
Did we? There were other girls involved.
I don't think so. I think that's probably the single gayest moment of our lives.
It might have been.
But we didn't know. We didn't know.
We didn't know. At some point, the boobs are going to show up, right?
Yes. You said this was a porn, right? Wait, why is Gabrielle Union in this? It can't be a porn if Gabrielle Union's in it.
Okay, do you want to end on a Channing Tatum movie or on a movie that involves two girls making out?
Trick question, it's the same movie?
No, two separate movies, two separate movies.
We can just do both, fuck it.
Okay, so then we are going to start with Black Swan. That's our two girls making out. It's our Mila Kunis.
That is probably... Wait for it. That's probably the dark horse of this entire thing. Because
when
that
I saw
movie,
this pop up, yeah.
That movie only, like, dancing was really just only in that movie as the focus of the attention of the main character or the thing that she obsessed about to cause her, like, all this shit to happen.
Yes.
It could have been easily replaced with a bunch of other shit, but the fact that it was about ballet, that movie was fucking phenomenal.
I liked it a lot.
It was so fucking crazy. It went everywhere. And the fact when there is a movie where two girls not only make out, but two girls basically fuck.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when my fiance comes home and says, not only that was a great movie, but you need to go see that, I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good movie. That's a solid 6 beers out of 6.
I mean, yeah, for dance movies, it's a 6 out of 6.
Yeah, comparatively speaking.
Yeah, I mean, like, that I had no idea where that fucking movie was going.
It was great.
It was a fucking mind-bender, dude. It was like Clockwork Orange, but with Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Who's also in the top 5.
Uh-huh. And then, alright, and we're just going to go ahead and end on Magic Mike.
I still refuse to see it.
I didn't see it either.
Thank God.
Alright.
Alright, well, at least we made up for having seen Bring It On during a sleepover in 7th grade.
Yeah, an all-dude sleepover. That Bring It On.
I love how you tried to save that. I think there were girls involved. Dude, there were no girls involved when we were in 7th grade. Which one of us had game enough to bring girls to a sleepover?
God damn it. God damn it.
As if anybody listening to this ever assumed either of us had actual game.
All right. So fucking true. All right, so that's it for 3 Drink Minimum.
I love how we mentioned Magic Mike and just fucking blazed over it. It was like, nope. It wasn't even like a flyby. It was just like, we just kind of wingtipped it and flew away.
I just assume Ty or Brazier or somebody's going to be like, you guys didn't say Magic Mike.
I just want that moment to happen just so we can go, well, why wouldn't we mention Magic Mike? Oh my God. Fuck you, Ty.
All right, guys. For 3 Drink Minimum, I'm Steve.
I'm Tony.
And we'll see you guys next time.
We'll be dirty dancing into the night.
Yep.